Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and praise God we're able to be together again. And as I shared on yesterday's broadcast, if you're just joining me this week, well, welcome. But we want to look at the beautiful illustrations for the life of a believer in the incident of the wise men. Matthew, the second chapter, verses 9 through 11, speak of wise men coming from a far country who presented to the Lord Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And as I spent time before the Lord meditating on the significance of what these gifts were, there's spiritual significance also. There was practical significance because the Holy Family was able to use this as a means of provision for the upcoming flight into Egypt. So as the Lord always does things, there's multiple purposes in his doings. But let's take some time. It's so fascinating. It is so rich to learn about the gifts that the wise men gave. Because you know what? We should give gifts on a daily basis to the Lord. He has done so much for us. And so these gifts that we're going to be looking at share some general characteristics of what should be and how a believer should be in their walk with God. The first gift was the gift of gold. And what I want to do is just take a few moments to look at gold. The first thing I'd like to note is that gold, as a precious metal, was imported, that this metal apparently was not obtained in Palestine. Some was imported from Sheba, which was part of Arabia, some from Ophir, which has been identified with the western coast of India, and some was imported from the eastern coast of Africa. So it was not native in Palestine, but it was imported. And surely, as believers, we have been translated, imported, if you will, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Gold, from the earliest days of man, has been used for ornamental purpose. Even when stone held the place of metal for weapons and tools, Isaiah 62:3 says, this is the Lord speaking about us, his children. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. And also, as we look at some of the natural characteristics of gold, where does it come from? Well, in today's world, there's many different ways of obtaining gold, some by actual, you know, digging in the earth. There can be caverns, you know, and mines that are literally dug. But an early and a primitive source would be by washing river sands and other alluvial deposits. In fact, this is still a method of supply on an individual basis. And remember, 150 years ago, that's when California came to life, the gold rush of 1849, when gold was discovered at Sutter's Creek. And those early pioneers, they used the gold panning method. And how the gold is obtained is that the water and soil from the bottom of the rivers is washed, and gold, being heavier, will sink to the bottom along with the black sand. And what can this speak to us of? Well, Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 25 and 26 says that Jesus Christ loved the church that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Hallelujah. So gold represents a life
our spiritual stand, if you will, in God, the quality of our relationship in the Lord, a life holy, purely, and completely surrendered to the Lord. And just like gold is washed, we're washed by the cleansing and sanctified by the cleansing of the washing of the water of the Word. Also, Titus, the third chapter, verses 4 and 5 say, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So it's God that's not only brought us from a far country, from the kingdom of darkness, as the wise men, but He has searched us out and He has washed us with the Word that we might become a precious royal diadem in His hand. Now let's take a few moments to look at the characteristics of gold, the natural physical characteristics of gold, because it's so exciting. There's so much to learn in these simple illustrations, and they speak volumes in terms of spiritual significance. First of all, gold is fusible. What does that mean? That means it can be fused, it can be joined together. Exodus 31, verses 3 and 4 speaks of Bezaleel, the son of Uri, who was appointed by the Lord to devise cunning works, to work in gold, silver, and brass. And then, of course, you remember also when Moses was in the mount for 40 days and the people were beginning to rebel and get dissatisfied and impatient, they prevailed upon Aaron and he gathered all the gold, their earrings, and fused a golden calf, which the people were worshiping, to Moses' horror when he came down and greatly offended the heart of God. So they rebelled against the Lord, but this, you know, they used this, the gold that they had, the jewelry that they had, they brought out of Egypt to make this golden calf because of the characteristics of gold. It's fusible, it'll stick together. And what can we see in that? Well, 1 Corinthians 12 and 27 speaks of us as being many members in particular, but one body. So isn't it a marvelous thing that God, by the Spirit of the Lord, is taking us and making us a lively tabernacle, a habitation for the Lord, a temple not made with hands. We are fused together, certainly not by our own efforts. We're not very, very successful on that, but by the Spirit of the Lord, as we walk after the Lord, as we seek to walk in His ways, as we put on the mind of Christ, as we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, as we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Beloved, when that happens, when the individual members of the body of Christ start following the Lord and allowing Jesus to be head, there will be a fusing, if you will. There will be a uniting as these little pieces of gold, these lively stones, if you will, are cemented together into a unity that cannot be broken. Hallelujah. So that's one of the characteristics of gold. It's fusible, and also it's malleable. I don't mean to be throwing all these terms at you, but what does that mean? Well, it means you can form and shape it. It's a soft metal. It's heavy, but it can be worked with. Exodus, the 39th chapter, verse 3, declares, "And they did beat the gold into thin plates and cut it into wires to work it in the blue and in the purple and in the scarlet and in the fine linen with cunning work." This is reference, of course, to the holy garments of the priesthood and of the tabernacle. So they were able to use the precious metal, and because it was malleable, it could be formed and shaped. It said they took that gold and they beat it into thin plates and then cut it into wires to make beautiful decorative embroidery upon the work that they were doing. Also, going on to another trait of gold, it's precious. It's rare, of great value, highly esteemed. Why? Because it's not that plentiful. Obviously, you know, you look around at, just plain old rock, limestone, there's a lot of that. That's not as extremely precious. But something like gold is valued and is the basis of the monetary systems of most of the world because it is precious. It's not That is something that is very common. And here again, we can see something so beautiful. Isaiah, the 13th chapter, verse 12, the Lord says, speaking, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Hallelujah. And because gold is so precious, there's another characteristic we can say about it. It's valuable. Valuable. Valuable, of course, to the Lord. Life, man's life, is very precious and valuable. And in the book of Job, chapter 28, verses 15 through 16, and Job, of course, is speaking of the value of wisdom. And if you read the book of Proverbs, it's often very effective to substitute the name of Jesus for wisdom, because he is the spirit of wisdom. He is all that wisdom embodies. The great riches and treasures of God are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Jesus. So when you see wisdom in the book of Proverbs, you can just refer to that as being the very presence of the Lord in Jesus. And Job says, it cannot be gotten with gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gift of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. And, of course, gold is most valuable when it's pure and refined. Psalm 19 and 10 says, speaking of the laws, the statutes and commandments of the Lord, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Praise God. Well, my goodness, the time has just flown by today, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you'll be able to be with us at this same time, and we'll continue to look at gold and discover all the wonderful characteristics and the things that we can learn about the gifts that the wise men presented to Jesus, that we ourselves, as we can come to the Lord in the days in which we live, we can offer these same gifts to him. Praise God. Well, I want to take this moment to invite you, if you're a new listener, if you need the support of agreeing prayer, the announcer is going to give you our mailing address. Please feel free to write. I personally receive your letters. No one else reads or answers the mail. And as I write back, you'll be blessed.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,